ShareCare is the leading online health and wellness engagement platform, providing millions of consumers with a personal, results-oriented experience by connecting them to the most qualified health resources and programs they need to improve their health. It's time now for ShareCare Radio on RadioMD.com. Here's your host, Dr. Daria.
Hello, it's Dr. Dara, and I'm back, and I'm here with relationship counselor and psychotherapist, Yael Melamed, who sees patients at her clinic in San Francisco and lectures at Pierce Counseling Center. She's here today to talk to us about tackling tough subjects within the family. Yael, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm actually excited to talk about one of my favorite topics, conflict and communication.
Oh, good, because I think that I'm probably an expert at conflict, but I probably need some help with communication. So let's get into that. You know, what is non-defensive communication?
So before I define for you what non-defensive communication is, I just want to paint a really quick picture of just how crucial it is to the success of a marriage and actually any relationship.
Okay.
You know, John Gottman, he's a well-known couples researcher, and he believed that he could watch a couple interact for several minutes and predict accurately whether or not they would be divorced in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he isolated 4 types of negative reactions that he thought so lethal to the marriage that he named them the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse, and defensiveness was one of the 4. So non-defensive communication really deserves our attention. Mm-hmm. And I think of it as an art and a practice. It's something that's relatively neutral in tone, and it involves openness, curiosity, flexibility, and also a willingness to be vulnerable. It's important to keep in mind that it's neither attacking nor avoiding. So this is both about the way one speaks and also about the way one listens.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I tell my couples that in each moment, we really have a choice about how we speak and how we listen. And for example, on the speaking side, say you are angry that your partner forgot to wash the dishes after promising that he or she would do them.
Mm-hmm.
You could attack and accuse your partner of being lazy and taking advantage of you, or you could share that when you're always left alone to do the dishes, you feel alone and would really like to operate more as a team. So there's a big difference there. And
mm-hmm.
the listener also has a choice to give a litany of excuses for why he or she didn't do the dishes or dismiss it as not being a big deal, or to be open and available to the experience of his or her partner, which is also a big difference. And
mm-hmm.
ultimately, this is really the difference between whether a conflict gets escalated or it gets resolved and worked through.
So it's almost like instead of attacking and then defending, it's going back to why I'm upset and then hearing why my partner is upset. Actually listening to each other is what you're saying. What a novel idea.
Yeah,
it seems so simple.
Mm-hmm.
It seems so simple.
It's simple in concept, but it's actually
mm-hmm.
really, really hard to do.
And
to,
oh, yeah.
to execute.
Yeah. So what are some, you know, exercises we can do so that when you're, you know, in the moment and you're mad and maybe in my head, I know that you told me to do this, but I'm emotionally upset.
So the first thing to do is actually to monitor yourself and to see how upset are you actually. Because when you feel relatively calm and safe, it's a lot easier to communicate non-defensively. But when you're triggered, it's really difficult. This is actually related to your brain function. Your amygdala is part of your reptile brain, and this is the part of your brain that allows you to act instinctually and make split-second survival decisions. And when your brain thinks you're in danger, and by the way, it doesn't differentiate between physical threats or emotional threats, so whether it's dinosaurs chasing you or your partner's really upset at you, the amygdala will get activated and you go into
mm-hmm.
fight or flight mode. And from
mm-hmm.
this place, it's really hard to have the openness and curiosity that I was just talking about. People
mm-hmm.
can't hear each other and the conversation tends to devolve here. So my first thing I would recommend before engaging is to really ask if you're in the position to do it, if you're activated or if you're actually calm enough. And if you're activated, it's actually really best to wait and come back to the conversation when you feel more open. But if you have some amount of openness, I recommend just reminding yourself, you know, as a speaker, let me focus on my own feelings and experiences rather than accusing or attacking my partner. And if
mm-hmm.
you're the listener, then let me listen with no expectations, no goals of fixing, and only having the agenda to really be listening to my partner's feelings and point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And,
okay.
you know, if you're able to have the conversation in the vein of what I just described, it can actually promote a deeper understanding of yourself and your partner, and can lead to increased intimacy and growth. And so if you see the conflict as a problem, it's a problem. But if you see the conflict as an opportunity, then it's an opportunity.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good point. If you can just take the moment to step back and look at it, you're right. It could be a really good growth opportunity. Now, you know, speaking of that, one thing I always worry about when you're having an argument is, you know, how children perceive it. And, you know, I've heard that if you do it healthily, it can be a good opportunity for them. But it, you know, it also can be the opposite. Talk to us about that and how to, you know, do, be healthy conflict and let your children see that.
Right, because the thing is, parental conflict is always going to spill over to children. A family is a system, and each part of the system influences the rest of it. So when there's tension between parents, whether it's hostile or more of an icy dynamic, kids will pick up on it. They're little geniuses who are excellent at tracking emotions and body language and the unspoken. So there's really no way to hide it. So like you're saying, the best thing to really do is just to learn how to handle conflict constructively. And so that starts with the self. And you know, parents really need to work on being emotionally healthy and aware inside of themselves and in terms of their interactions with their partners. And, you know, it can actually be an incredible, powerful life lesson for a child to watch his or her parents take responsibility for their behavior, be genuinely sorry, and heal.
So, and those are really key points. So taking responsibility, being sorry, and allowing the situation to heal. And that's, you're role modeling for your child, aren't you?
Exactly. Parents, first of all, the child's brain is actually developing in concert with the parent's brain, and so because of the idea of mirror neurons. So the more the parents can model, the more it will help their child's brain develop positively and healthy.
Okay. So much pressure on parents, but this is a really a good option where, you know, helping your child also helps you and whatever the driver is. So that's really good to know. And also because long-term strife can create physical symptoms too.
Yeah, you know, I absolutely believe in the mind-body connection because over and over I see in my practice how physical symptoms get expressed through the body, and it can really show up anywhere. But what I see most commonly in terms of conflict are just digestive issues. And actually, according to Chinese medicine, the stomach holds many difficult emotions. I also see back pain, skin conditions, and eye twitches, and then in children, bedwetting.
Really? Okay,
yeah.
So, and I've heard that before, that bedwetting in a child can really be due to some external influence going on.
Absolutely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, really good to know. Tell us some, I mean, what are some other pointers that all of us need to know as we go about in our lives and maybe experience some conflict?
Well, you know, we were just talking about the family, and I think I kind of gave you a good window into how parents can try to modulate and moderate conflict. But in terms of dealing with when the whole family gets into a conflict or a conflict that directly involves the children, that's another thing. And of course, a raging conflict at home can be really overwhelming and stressful for parents, but it can also be a huge opportunity for children to learn about themselves and the world. And, you know, I think the first thing parents can do is really have that awareness. You know, as distressing as it might feel, it's really important to embrace conflict as a necessary part of life. And bringing an attitude of presence and acceptance to it rather than avoiding it or trying to squash it can be very calming and containing for children. So I recommend that rather than just trying to break up a fight at all costs, it's important to work with what's happening more deeply. And I can share some guiding principles to that end, but of course, the nature of a particular conflict and the ages of the children involved would influence what the best course of action would be.
In our last 30 seconds or so, give us a couple of principles.
Well, it's really important to know that when a child is upset, logic often won't work until we've responded to the child's right brain emotional needs. So the first step is actually calming your child down before trying to reason or discussing consequences or anything like that. And then, you know, it's important to kind of work the process through self-understanding, asking questions like, why do you think you made that choice, to repair? So helping them make things right after the conflict. So don't stop at de-escalation, but follow the conflict all the way through.
Okay.
The repair.
Thank you so much, Elle. I think that was those were great lessons for all of us to take a step back and look at what's bothering us and be able to listen to each other. Thank you again. Everyone, all of our listeners, you can find more from Yael at yaelmelamed.com, yaelmelamed.com. This is Dr. Daria, and you're listening to Share Care Radio on Radio MD. Thanks for listening, and stay well.